Wonderful. Thank you for that. Psalm 116, just one verse tonight. And you've been sitting a little while. Would you stand with me just for one verse tonight? We'll read it together. Psalm chapter 116. And of course, it's verse 15. I don't imagine any preacher who's preached more than a couple of funerals has definitely preached out of this text. It's a wonderful text. Psalm chapter 116, verse 15. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Father, would you please bless tonight? Thank you for what we've already heard. Lord, help us, Lord, as we come to invitation time to make decisions upon what we've heard thus far and, Lord, what we will hear in these next moments. Thank you for all that you give in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The first time my girlfriend and I, who is my wife now, came to Mountain View Baptist Church in Holyoke, Massachusetts was February 19th, 1995. My hair was probably around here. Pastor Tharp will be here late next year, and he will tell you that it was somewhere in Ann Arbor when I entered the building. That's how long my hair was. It gets longer every time he tells the story, amen? And I tell him one of these days your nose is going to get longer telling that story, amen? But I remember the first time we walked in, and I heard a clear presentation of the gospel. Brother Sammons, for the first time. First time I'd ever heard the clear presentation of the gospel. And I walked out of that building and I had thought that my wife had told that preacher everything that I had ever done in my life. Because he preached on everything that I was doing. And he said all of it was wrong. Amen. He preached against rock music and drinking and all kinds of other things. And I think he was probably preaching on the tabernacle. Amen. It's just amazing how God, the Holy Spirit, will do that. Amen. I kid with Pastor all the time. I said, you had the longest finger I've ever seen. It went 40 feet right back there into my face like this. We came the next week and I got saved. Amen. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior right there in my pew. And I've never been the same. And I remember I got saved and then a couple of months later I got baptized and I began separating from the world. Amen. Listen, that's a natural process for a Christian. Amen. Natural process to begin to start pulling away from the world. By the way, if you don't eat, you won't get strong. You won't have the strength to pull away. Amen. Satan's pull and the world's pull is still strong. Amen. Get in this book. Be here. Hear the messages. But I remember we began to separate ourselves. And Pastor Tharp said, you know, we need some help in the Awana ministries. And my first Awana class, I had the Pioneers, which was, I believe, fifth and sixth grade boys, if I remember correctly. And I had three boys in that class. They were, most of you will not know these names, but a few of you will. They were a young man named Johnny Pellin, a young boy named Buddy Kernicki, and another young boy named Eric Tharp. And I had, Pastor had given me, I only had just a regular Thomas Nelson Bible. And the pastor had given me a Rice Reference Bible. It was a hardbound. And it was, the funny thing about it was we discovered later it was missing like a several, it was misbound. But it was hardbound, and that's really what I needed with fifth and sixth grade boys. And I kid you not, Brother Merrill, it was back in the day. Thankfully, all their families were in church. When they got on the line, you know what I did? Right on the head. Right on the. I said, you guys are going to have flat foreheads by the time I get done with you, amen? And of course, they began to listen, and I watched these. And I remember having Eric Tharp in my class. He was a good boy. He really was a good boy. I remember the first time he ever got disciplined. We were doing the game time. And how many of you remember the Awana game time? It was crazy. It had that big circle with all the lines and all that. And I remember Eric was just kind of sloughing it in one of the races. And I still don't have any tolerance for that. Amen. I said, you, out. Get out of the game. And he got out, and word got back to his father that I had removed him from game time. And so Pastor Tharp said, I need to meet with you and my son after service. I went, maybe he's got a flat head. You know, maybe it's coming around. Amen. And I remember, Pastor Tharp, we used to have that side room, used to be the Awana room before we had an addition built on. And I remember we went into that side room, and there's Eric, and he's sheepishly, you know, young boy, sixth grade. He just wasn't trying, amen? By the way, sometimes kids at fifth and sixth grade, they get a little too cool for school, amen? And I remember Pastor Tharp saying, "Now, Brother Rich, I understand you had to take my son out of game time." And Eric spoke up and he said, "But Dad," and I will never forget, to this day, I still almost cringe when Pastor Tharp said, "You shut your mouth, young man. I'm talking to this man." And that he shrunk like this, and I did too. I thought I was going to literally wet myself. I was so scared. Amen. And he talked, and that boy got the whooping of his life when we got home. First of all, for not giving his best. But then also for trying to correct an adult. And to this day, Pastor looks at me weird. I go like this and I get scared. Amen. But I remember meeting, and I remember Eric, and he really was a good boy. He was a wonderful boy. Brother Boston's nephew. And I remember going off to Bible college and seeing him as a young man. And I believe the first time I preached was the first time Eric preached. We had a layman's preaching night or a men and boys preaching time, and had kind of like what we had tonight. Amen. And we preached together, and I think both of us preached horrible messages, but God blessed them anyway. Amen. And I remember coming back from Bible college, and I had the privilege to be this young man's youth pastor and watching him develop. And on November 28th, 2003, at the age of 18 years old, God called him home. He went to heaven at 18. And I want to, tonight, if I could, and just weave some of the story, and there's so much more to it, but I want to, if I could, just give you some precious lessons from the death of a saint. Precious lessons from the death of a saint. First of all, number one, the first lesson I learned from my friend's death was the span of days. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James 4:14 says, "For what is your life? It is even as a vapor." Amen. The sign language sign for vapor is this: that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Many times my wife will make my children macaroni and cheese. By the way, I think it's all they eat. And as Pastor Donald knows, Old McDonald's. Amen. I only like Old McDonald's, Pastor Donald. Amen. But many times we will go to the table and we will tell them, once the steam is gone, then you can eat it. That's how quick our life is, folks.
Vapor. Amen.
Just a vapor. Some of you, God has blessed you with 50, 60, 70, 80 years. You've seen people that have you known go into an early grave. I learned from my friend about the span of days. Not to take any day for granted. The span of days. Secondly tonight, not only the span of days, but I learned the lesson of the sovereignty of God. The morning that Eric John was to pass into eternity, he had a wonderful morning with his family and Pastor Donald's brother Johnny. They went skating and had a good time, and our pastor said to him, "You're home. I need you to go get your truck looked at while you're home." And Eric resisted a little bit. He said, "Well, Dad, you know, I can get to it." He said, "No, son, I want you to do it now." And he went out and he was gone. Now you listen to me. My pastor could live with that and agonize over that for the rest of his life. Or he could understand, Brother and Sister Merrill, amen, that God's sovereign. God is sovereign. That's not a Calvinist doctrine. That's a Bible doctrine. God is in control. He's sovereign. You're in Psalm 116. Go over probably not even a page. Look at Psalm 115, verse number 3. Look at verse number 3 there. It says, "But our God is in the heavens and hath done whatsoever He pleased." I learned the lesson of the span of days. I learned the lesson of the sovereignty of God. You know, I learned the lesson of the sorrow of loss. I'm an only child, only adopted child. Didn't grow up with brothers or sisters, had really not experienced any loss except for extended family, grandparents, which is a natural loss. This was a first time in a long time that somebody very close to me was cut down at a very young age. And I remember the loss. And I can, just in my heart, as Eric's youth pastor, what my wife and I went through. But I can't even imagine what it was like for his brother and his sisters and his mom and dad. I remember Carrie was gone that weekend. She was in Arizona visiting her family. And I got the call from Marissa's dad, Pastor Robles. He called me. I had enjoyed it. It was the Friday after Thanksgiving. It was always a good day to. It was a day off if you worked a regular job. It was just a good day off. And my dad and I had breakfast together, and we'd went out to a Polish deli and just spent some time together. And I watched Nebraska and Colorado, Mrs. Lawley. Amen. And about 4 o'clock after the game had ended, I got a call, and I almost didn't answer it. I was in the ministry, but also I worked a full-time job, and I thought, boy, I don't get many days off. But I saw that it was Pastor Robles, and I answered it. And he told me, he said, "I just want to tell you, Eric's been killed." And I said, "Where's the preacher?" He said, "He's home. He doesn't want anybody to come by, but I know he'd want you to come by." And I remember getting in my car, my Jeep, as quickly as possible, and driving from Springfield, Massachusetts, to Westfield, about 15 miles, and a drive that I had made so many times, and as I pulled into the driveway, a walk that I had made so many times with so much joy, and now it was all sorrow and loss. Listen, folks, it is okay to grieve. There's a time to mourn. Some people say, I can't get past this grief right now. You just give it time. And you may never get past it, but you'll get through it. I learned about the sorrow of loss. I saw my pastor and his dear wife. First time I ever hugged my pastor's wife was that day, Brother Boston's sister. First time. And I remember sitting there with the kids and hugging them and crying with them and just learning about the sorrow of loss. I think of that time where Jesus came to the tomb of Lazarus. And He came and everybody was weeping. Everybody was weeping. They were weeping. And the Bible says after He heard them and He saw them weep that He groaned in spirit. And then verse 35 we find that Jesus wept. You know, we're supposed to weep with those that weep. Rejoice with those that rejoice. Amen. That's just part of the ministry. That's part of investing in people. Being part of their life. The sorrow of loss. The span of days. The sovereignty of God. The sorrow of loss. You know what else I was reminded of in the death of my friend? The sobriety of words. The importance of words. Someday, the words you say are going to be your last words. I think of sometimes the way we speak to the people that are closest to us. And sometimes we wouldn't be very proud that those would be our last words. We get feisty with one another. We get chippy with one another. All God's people said, amen. We do it. I do it. Maybe you don't do it. I do it. I know I do it. I'll tell you what. The last words that Eric John said were, "Love you, Pop. Love you, Mom." I'm reminded that the Bible talks in James chapter 3 about the tongue. Therewith we bless God. Therewith we curse we men. The Bible talks about Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like an apple of gold in pitchers of silver. I learned since that day, let's be careful about what we say when we leave the house. When we separate, may it always be kindness and love. And all God's people said, I'm reminded of the sobriety of words. I learned a lesson of the significance of love. Pastor Tharp would always say, he would refer to his family as his people. I love my people. I love my people. He said, he would say, thank you for loving on my people. I was reminded that of these three, there's faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity. 1 Corinthians 13:13. The fact that there was so much love in that family, and not only during the grieving, but before and after. So much love in the family that it was love that kept that family together. Love. You know, it's time for some people to start getting over some old hurts. Get back to loving your people. It goes back to point number one. You better love your people while you have them. Because they could be gone tomorrow. And you sure have a lot of regrets if you didn't love them. I learned the lesson of the significance of love. How important it is that we love our people. Number six. The span of days, the sovereignty of God, the sorrow of loss, the sobriety of words, the significance of love, the seams of life. So what is that, Pastor? You learned a lesson about the seams of life. I think this poem probably puts it best. My life is but a weaving between my Lord and me. I cannot choose the colors. He worketh steadily. Oft times He worketh sorrow, and I, in foolish pride, forget He sees the upper, and I the underside. Not till the loom is silent, and the shuttles cease to fly, shall God unroll the canvas, and explain the reason why. The dark threads were as needful in the weaver's skillful hand, as threads of gold and silver in the pattern He has planned. He knows, He loves, He cares. Nothing this truth can dim. He gives His very best to those who leave the choice with Him. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You can't take any one experience out of life. You know what you do when you do that? You pull that main seam, don't you? And the whole thing. See, we're a product of all of life. And I've said so many times, I've told this story, and I hope it doesn't get trite, but I remember when one time when my parents were, I don't think they were home, and I was in the house looking for something to eat, and I had eaten up all the sugary cereals and all the other things. I was looking, and I found above the oven, I found a box of Hershey's chocolate. Hallelujah. Especially when you're an only child, you don't have to share it. Although I would have gladly shared this one. Because they were small little squares and they were wrapped in wax paper. And you cooks are laughing at me right now. Well, I wish you were there with me back then. And I looked and I, praise God, I did what any self-respecting young person did. I smelled it. Sure smelled like chocolate to me, Uncle Joe. Amen. And then I bit into it, and I had one of the most disappointing experiences of my entire life when I tasted bittersweet baking chocolate. Ugh. My wife will tell you, if you take that bittersweet baking chocolate and you put it in a bowl with some eggs, some flour, some sugar, and you mix it all together, that you'll have a wonderful dessert after you fake it for a little while. You know, these isolated experiences of life, if we look at them all by themselves, they're just bitter, aren't they? They're just bitter. God works it together for His good. He works it together. Let me give you the last point tonight. I learned a lesson from the death of my friend about the span of days, about the sovereignty of God, about the sorrow of loss, about the sobriety of words, about the significance of love, the seams of life. And I want you to go to this last verse with me. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus Christ, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. The last lesson I learned from the death of my friend was the saint's goal. We used to take our teens to big youth rallies and youth activities like Pastor Donald does. And I think they're wonderful, by the way. They really are. I'm glad that there's more of that going on in our area. It lets Christian teenagers know that they're not the only ones fighting this battle. I think of the Christian teens that are here tonight. Listen to me. There's other Christians that are going through the struggles that you're going through. And it gets them around each other. And we used to go to one out in Warwick, Rhode Island. It was called the Powerhouse. It was awesome. They would rent out a fairgrounds. An entire fairgrounds. They had us sponsors, us youth pastors, do bus pulls. Have you ever tried to pull a bus before? It's not as easy as it looks, amen? They'd put 10 youth pastors on one side, and they get the 10 strongest looking kids, and we pulled out. We roasted them, amen? We did. I remember we had gone to that one particular one in Warwick, and we were on our way back, and as Pastor Donald and Joel and Miss Marissa, I don't know if they know it now, but I would get very quiet on the way home from these activities. Brother Horsch, I wanted to hear what the kids were talking about. Because Brother Joel, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I could tell who was up late watching HBO. It was pretty obvious. And I listened. And for this one particular one, I remember that in that second seat, my wife and I were in the front seats of the church van. And in that second bench seat that's right behind us, that Eric John got right up on it and got right up into the end of it so he could be as close to us as possible. And he was just talking. And he was talking to us, Brother Jim, like an adult. Very refreshing to hear a 16-year-old kid talking to you this way. And he said this, and I'll never forget this if I live to be 100, unless I get Alzheimer's. He said this. He said, Pastor Rich, I've come to the conclusion that every decision that I make will either bring me closer to God or further from Him. And he said this, with God's help, I want to make the right decision every time. Amen. That's the saint's goal. Amen. To live a life that pleases God. Amen. And his life was cut down at 18. And by the way, God has the right to take his clippers in his rose garden anytime he wants. I think about when we do baby dedications. I've had both of my boys dedicated. They're not mine. And they're not that dear lady's back there. They're his. We're the stewards. We're the stewards. We're to take care of them. Raise them right. Teach them the right things. I think about this young man, and what I learned from him was the saint's goal is to please God. To please Him. And by the way, life is not made up in the quantity of years, but in the quality of years for God. Precious lessons from the death of a saint. Father, thank You for the messages.